Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of afternoons is brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, Ted Johnson. Fitzy, you and I have talked about this a lot, but the text line can be fascinating at times when there are like consecutive texts that are totally polar opposites in reacting.
Oh my God, there's nothing funnier than like, this team sucks. Yep. I love this team. You guys suck. Best show ever. Of course, they're the best. This is my favorite.
And I loved it. Ted, you got a little bit of this. You got the 413 that says, Ted is so right. Trust the process, boys. They are way ahead of schedule, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, the very next text is the 401. Next year, Ted's motto. Whatever happened to this year, sigh, pathetic. So consecutive kind of thoughts on the text line reacting to our discussion. And you know what will really sway this is just the results as we move forward. Like, if they keep winning, no one's going to lament
no
the trade deadline.
Yep.
And if they start having – this is the one thing is injuries.
And here's the other thing. It's in the playoffs is we're not going to sit there and go, oh, they were one player away. There's not going to be something that happens in the game where you go, oh, if we had this guy –
agree.
We would have been better. No one will even think about the trade deadline if they get bounced in the playoffs.
I agree. I actually think if there's a reaction to the trade deadline moving forward, it'll be more about Harold Landry misses two games and who steps in. And if you don't have or the Stevenson injury isn't just a 1 week, you're like, wait, he's now missed 3 weeks with the toe kind
right.
of thing?
Right. Say Harold Landry is injured going into the playoffs. You know, oh, we could have had a guy, but. Do we expect Harold Landry to make a play in the game that was going to change the fortunes of the team? No, because he hasn't really all year.
Yeah, the pass rush hasn't been great.
So
that has been one of your harpings in the TED Talks week after week, is that the pass rush just doesn't live up to what we had hoped it to be. Anyway, it's 5:05:04. It's time for The Drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep.
Top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
So we'll kick things off with a quick note off of the epiphany that I had last night watching Monday Night Football. Old friend Fitzy, Jacoby Brissett, got the win last night for the Cardinals.
He's the best quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals at this moment. And how come we couldn't get that version of him?
Well, you know who's decided that? The Arizona Cardinals, because he is going to remain the starter for the Cardinals. They will not be returning right now to Kyler Murray, who I've always called. I had a longstanding bet with Rich Keefe. I think Kyler Murray's been the most overrated player in football for a long time. He can be fun, and he can wow you, and he can do things. But does he win consistency?
No. I mean, if it didn't work out with Cliff Kingsbury, who was the guy that believed him in college and, you know, made him great in college, it you know, it's not going to work. If it didn't work out for him with Cliff, then it's not going to work out.
And I think the final nail, or maybe not the final nail, it's a little strong, but the nail in his coffin is Marvin Harrison not doing well with him, and suddenly he's with Brissett, and they're like, oh, this is why we drafted that guy near the top of the draft at receiver for a quarterback
number two,
to
number
use
number two overall last year, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he drives me crazy. His game is kind of like he leaves the pocket early.
Yeah.
The ball doesn't come out on time.
Nope.
I mean, he's got great talent, but he doesn't play the position efficiently enough.
And one of the things that I think may have levied a little influence there is, did you hear some of those comments from Marvin Harrison Sr.?
What did he say?
Dan Ball, if you could look those up, he had some pretty biting comments about, I think he said something to the effect, if I played in this offense, they'd take away my Hall of Fame jacket, basically, that this offense doesn't allow receivers and isn't a good enough offense to get the best from talents at like his son at wide receiver.
Let's remember also, too, but there was the split up of the coordinators coming out of the Eagles. Ted, earlier we were saying, like, well, no, the Colts have had a head coach for 3 years. Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon left at the same time to pursue head jobs. Gannon was a defensive coordinator. So it's not like he brought offensive wizardry like Shane Steichen did to Indianapolis. And I think they thought they had enough talent to will themselves into competitive relevance in the NFC West. They don't, and, you know, ever since the Hail Murray, that great pass to DeAndre Hopkins, he hasn't done squat in the NFL.
So Kyler Murray may be, he was in our conversation for one of the better all-around athletes of modern times because he was a top 10 pick in baseball and a number one overall pick in football, but he's no longer maybe the starting quarterback in Arizona. Yes, Dan Ball.
That quote that you're looking for, what I do know is that you can put Marvin Harrison Sr. in my prime, so he's third person like Jeremy Swayman.
Love it.
In Arizona right now, and guess what happened? Canton, Ohio is going to call or is going to send me a prepaid envelope and say, could you please send that jacket back? So I'm not speaking for anyone. I'm speaking for me. It's a hard watch right now. You can quote me on that.
Does he ever consider what that might do to a son in the locker room or with the coaches? You know, it's kind of like Dion crapping all over the Cleveland Browns. It's like, you know, are you doing your son any favor when you criticize openly the team that he's playing for? I don't know if that's a smart thing.
No, but it kind of worked in this case because, well, what kind of worked is Kyler Murray's hurt and Brissett comes in and he utilizes Marvin Harrison better than Kyler Murray was. Mm-hmm. And now at least for the time being, Jacoby Brissett's going to keep playing.
No, but you're right, Ted. I mean, that's a quote that makes you go, oh, yeah, he didn't think about his son or the team he plays for at all.
At all.
That's an I want to get my name into the headlines quote.
Yeah. Also feels like the kind of quote, if it were me, that I'd give after like seven Miller Lights. And I'd be like, oh, that's what I said to that guy when he stopped me in the parking lot. I don't remember that at
all. That'd be one heck of a UNH tailgate where you're saying, if they called me.
We're not doing that. We don't ever do that.
If I was playing linebacker for UNH. Anyways.
So the Patriots did nothing at the trade deadline. And
they were doing nothing. They traded guys away.
That's right. They offloaded some hangers-on. Is that and even paid to get basically rid of one of them, Duggar.
Yep.
They're basically paying him to
play for the Steelers.
And he played like a ton
70,
of snaps.
7 out of the 78 snaps.
As they upset the Colts by shutting down Jonathan Taylor and picking off Daniel Jones. So looks like, at least for 1 week, that's a nice addition for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We need to look at the offensive line right now, Ted, because that's something that I don't know we've spent enough time on. It was weird, because coming into the year, we said Will Campbell. Oh, we're going to focus on Will Campbell. And it's like the more they win, the less we kind of talk about the offensive line, even though it doesn't feel like the offensive line is playing great football right now. It feels like, and you and Brian Hoyer were sort of addressing this, you know, different TE stunts and different things.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting how Hoyer put it. He said the young guys on one side are having trouble, and the old guys on the other side are having trouble. Like the Morgan Moses, Mike Onwenu side is.
Thank God
they're
not having it all in the same game.
Right.
It's like one game, it's one side's the problem, and the other game, it's the other side. So it's if they both sides suck in the same game, they're in big time trouble.
Look out, Drake May. Just
real quick question, guys. Why do we think Mike Onwenu, who obviously, like you said, Andy, is the highest paid, not recently acquired free agent. Why is he struggling now out of the blue?
It's only one game. I don't think he's been a big issue. But he got beat pretty soundly a couple of times in this last game. So it's like he's the guy we're talking about. I don't think he's been an issue consistently all year.
Right.
So I wouldn't worry about it. Or really that right side.
No, I think for the most part, the right side's been pretty good. And the left side,
more of an issue.
Has looked young.
Yeah.
Has looked like two young players.
Right.
But Onwenu has been a guy that they signed him to that deal, and it was never like, oh my God, they got such good value there. He's by far their best offensive lineman. He's super consistent. People like to harp on, and I don't know whether this is a factor or not, his weight and whether he's in shape and if he's overweight and how much overweight he is and how that affects his play. So I think that's something. But the sacks have been an issue. Ted, you've been harping on it. 34 sacks, 12 sacks the last 2 weeks, a couple back-to-back half-dozen sack games. We kind of, I won't say laughed one off, but it's like Myles Garrett. Oh, he's the best player in football. Myles Garrett's going to get his kind of thing. Well, this week it was a couple young first-round picks and young guys versus young guys, and they're getting his. So it's harder to make excuses, I guess. So we talked to Mark Schlereth in the 2:30 slot here today. And he's a guy that says quarterback sacks are on the quarterback. It's a statistic for the quarterback. He's an offensive lineman. Keep that in mind. But what were his thoughts on how Drake can help out the line, how Drake can avoid the sacks?
Like, when you watch Drake May play, and I've done several of the games, like, there's a lot of front side of progression, one to do to buy myself some time and scramble. And so what would help him get off some of the sacks is one to two to check down. One to two to check down. And that's something I know that they're working on. Hey, listen, one to two to take off a scramble, he's made a lot of big plays. He made some big plays yesterday or Sunday doing that. So that's not altogether a bad thing. You're winning right now. Those are good things. Those are the good issues to have. Like, we can still get coached up on some of those things.
You agree with Schlereth there? The check down might become a tool or a friend for Drake May?
I would go to the check down quicker than he's doing. What I do worry about is I think teams might have start using what the Falcons game plan was the crush rush, where they brought five guys and they just pinched down the outside. I think when he feels like he's boxed in, that's where he's his least effective. If you don't crash in the ends, then he can see clearly the outlet pass to the flat and get the ball out quicker. But when the walls are closing in, when they pinch it in and then just rush guys up, you know, five guys in his face, three guys in his face, and then two guys from the outside, I think he has a harder time finding where the outlet is.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
The other question I had there with this idea of check down, and we talked about it off air, actually, and do you guys recall maybe like 3 weeks ago or a month ago, might have been Tennessee, somewhere in there, do you remember he had a little bit of a throwaway line in a post game where he's like, you know, I don't want to be check down Charlie. It's like he threw that out there in a disparaging way.
That's a good point. It's just not in his nature to take the short money. He wants to go big or go home kind of thing.
And it's very funny you say that, Andy, because I was thinking last night about the whole idea that he's taken six sacks each of the last 2 weeks. And is that not just indicative of Drake May's play or offensive line issues, but is this now something we need to get used to with the hyper-athletic, don't live to play another day, but rather always live to extend the play type of quarterback? Like, does Josh Allen get sacked a lot? Probably. Does Justin Herbert get sacked a lot, a decent amount?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because these guys are so big. They're so different than most quarterbacks who 3, 5, and 7-step drop, look for a read, if not panic or get sacked. They're always trying to make something happen. So I think this is actually something we're not used to in New England as Patriots fans, and that we're going to have to start getting used to or living with, because it's the nature of the long, strong, hyper-athletic, mobile, contemporary quarterback.
Absolutely. I've always said this. At draft time, teams talk about wanting athletic quarterbacks who can run. And then midway through their second season, they're like, oh, why don't you run a little bit less? You're our good quarterback. We can't put you in harm's way. And it's true, Fitzy. You can't make a crazy play without trying to make a crazy play. And if it's a crazy play, inherently there's downside, right? There's the potential for it to go horribly wrong, for it to go sideways. Mm-hmm. I keep going back to the play with the guy draped all over his shoulders where he threw it to Diggs. You've seen that before where, because he gets pulled, his arm gets pulled on release, and he throws it to a Ted Johnson who's in the flat, and Ted Johnson's running to the end zone for a pick six. Like, that could have gone wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. It's a fine line. Look, I would rather him be a guy that's just a wild stallion that you have to throttle back than a guy that you have to, I don't know, teach to. I mean, how many quarterbacks that they just they don't they're risk averse,
right?
And they don't want to throw the ball deep. I mean, there's so many quarterbacks like that. So
Jason Campbell used to be that guy. Remember, you drive me nuts. The guy would never throw picks. You know why? Because he would never make plays.
Yeah.
If you're never going to try to make a play, you're never going to put the ball in harm's way ever. And to me, that's not how you win ever in the NFL, but certainly not now. How you win now is throw the ball, right? Make plays in the passing game. Justin Herbert's a great example, Fitzy. I was watching Brady do his game 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Brady was on the – and he was kind of bitching about Herbert running, bitching about Herbert taking hits. And I get it from Brady's perspective. Tom Brady made his money in the pocket. He made his money, you know, on platform, in the pocket, that whole thing, Peyton Manning. Justin Herbert's not you. Drake May's not you. Like, these guys make their money in a different way. And I think Josh has actually been the most forthcoming on that. He's talked a few times, like, if you're trying to coach out the playmaking, then why is he your quarterback? Mm-hmm. Like, you want him to make plays for you. You'd be a bad coach. Mm-hmm. Now he needs to protect himself. And the other thing that Vrabel and others have brought up, Ted, and I don't know if you've noted this, some of the sacks are for like a 1 yard loss, either at the line of scrimmage or he even goes out of bounds just shy.
Right.
And yeah, that's a sack, but is it the worst play in the world?
Right.
Probably not. He didn't lose 7 yards. He wasn't really in harm's way.
Right. It was just another hit. It's just another mile on the odometer.
Bingo.
That's the one thing, you know? Like,
Didn't he run himself into a big hit on Sunday?
Yeah.
He ran 13 yards in the first quarter or something. It was like, slide, dummy. You know, and then all of a sudden, boom, just took a huge hit to his right side.
There's one. It's almost in reg. Okay, you're in the pocket, go down. But it's when he leaves the pocket, the velocity of the hits from him, because guys are running. He's running the collisions. There was a play where he got, it was like a 2 yard gain, but he was about to slide, and a guy came from behind him and then just fell.
Yes.
All his weight came down.
Yeah, big
on
guy,
him.
Too.
Yeah,
wasn't a little guy.
It's just, I just don't need the hits. The hits.
Too important.
It's way too important.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Funny, though, on the opposite end of that spectrum, the Penix play where he was about to run it in for a touchdown and then kind of stopped and slid like right before getting in. Did you guys see that? Because in my head, I'm like, go for it. If you're in it for a penny, you're in it for a pound.
Right,
you're right there. Right.
But it is that risk reward, and some of it is instincts. You know, it's almost like they black out and they forget rules and coaching, and it's just back to, I'm an athlete. That guy's an athlete. Can I beat that guy? One thing we do need to get a reaction to, Ted, we'll get to your reaction in a second, but we asked Brian Hoyer, because he's been defending it a little bit. There was the clap heard round Foxborough or not heard at all. What was Brian Hoyer's thoughts on the Falcons whining?
I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this and I'm looking at the film. I'm like, clapping. First of all, you know, in the NFL, the quarterback, the only way the quarterback's ever going to clap is when he's away, it's on the silent cadence and the time's running down and the center's not paying attention, the guard's not paying attention.
Yeah.
And when you start clapping, that means I want the ball now. And I'm looking, I'm like, all right, D-line, no one's clapping. Linebackers, no one's clapping. And then I see Jalen Hawkins, and he's trying to get the attention of the corner because they're going from two by two to three by one. And obviously that changes, you know, their coverage calls. And someone tried to tell me that that's what the center heard with all of the fans cheering. Like, it's so ridiculous that sometimes you just got to call it out.
So, Ted, do you agree with that? Because we all saw later that the Jalen Hawkins, who's
right.
12 yards downfield and diagonal from the center, a long ways away from the center.
Look, you know, in the post game, it was interesting because this came up right after the post game. So my first initial thing was, I'm just going to believe the coach was right and that someone on the Patriots clapped, and then that's what messed him up.
Okay.
So I went from that. So that's where I ran with it. I didn't fact check it. I didn't have time because it was right after the game. And I just said, yeah, that, you know what? I could see maybe Mike doing that, telling a player to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because do you guys remember what Mike did? We had a rule that we had made a little loophole in rule. It was you called a timeout to ice a kicker.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there was no rule that if you call another timeout when you don't have, and we didn't have any timeouts left. We called a timeout, our last timeout, to freeze the guy. Okay. And then he goes back out to line up, and Vrabel starts screaming, timeout, timeout, again, two in a row.
Yep.
But we didn't have one, but the refs stopped it as if thinking we did.
Right.
And they, oh, crap, they didn't have a timeout, but he called a timeout. And then they made a rule saying, if you call a timeout when you don't have one, then that's a penalty on you. And that was, I'm just
telling
you.
I remember that. It was mid-season.
Right. I'm just thinking, okay, That's how Mike thinks. That's how he. It's like, can we find a loophole in the rule to
yep.
to maybe to your advantage? And I thought maybe that's what he was doing.
That's originally I thought that, but even that, even if it happened, so I'm assuming the center complained to his coach. What happened out there? I heard somebody clap, right. coach. I heard somebody clap.
Yeah, that's
keep it to yourself.
Yeah,
like talk to Penix, figure it out, and then for the coach to come out in the press conference in his sarcastic way,
he should have thought about what he was saying.
Yeah, I thought that was really yeah. kind of
rank file and amateur.
Yeah, a little bit, a little
I
bit.
I believe the kids used to say weak sauce right there
weak sauce.
From Raheem Morris.
Weak
like,
sauce.
I didn't. And then after you watch it, I don't think the clap ever even really happened. I don't think anybody
no,
in the front
no,
happened.
No,
because
no,
I do think, yeah, maybe if Ted Johnson is going in front of the guy, right, yeah. you know, five yeah. yards in front of, maybe that yeah. could get him to freak out.
Yeah.
But I don't think it happened. I think the guy just effed up. Then Penix effed up even more by not having an escape strategy. He was so freaked out, he just, instead of throwing it to the Bijan Robinson side, so you get the throwaway, he ends yeah. up getting the intentional grounding and the loss. And
how do you rule that? See, I'm thinking going forward, they should like start maybe doing that, clapping, but you go, it's a penalty. It was, how can you distinguish, if I'm a defender clapping, why can't I just say it was a signal?
Well, and that's where I would have it potentially as a long con. Do it a lot of times all year long so that in a tense situation like that, you can get away with it and be like, no, we've been doing that all year long.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you
yeah.
saying? We're not simulating anything.
I think there's something there.
I do think there's a gray area.
I'd go
there.
Back to that.
If anybody can find it, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Currently coaching in the National Football League, it is Mike Vrabel. Yeah. He will find it because where there's a will, there's a way, and he has the will. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, I did a little homework. I'm jealous of Ted Johnson always having so many notes and papers and stuff. So I went home. Do you see this, Ted?
Yeah.
I can write a lot of stuff on a notebook, too.
No.
I went through an exercise of the top half of the league. So teams that are pretty good. It's teams with four losses or less. What's your best win? What's your worst loss? And compare that. That helps you get a feel for just how good a team is. Or is it just a weak schedule? The Patriots have a weak schedule. So we'll get to team's best wins and worst losses. That's up next here on WEEI. But first, for the final time, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by Boston Prolotherapy. The Celtics fell to the Utah Jazz last night at TD Garden. The final score was 105-103. Boston is now 3-5 on the season. They host the Washington Wizards tomorrow night. The Bruins, meanwhile, have won three in a row and four of their last five. They visit the New York Islanders tonight. Tonight, puck drop is at 7 p.m. Jeremy Swayman, Ilya Sorokin, the matchup in net. Boston beat New York 5-2 at the Garden exactly 1 week ago. The Red Sox have agreed to a one-year deal with Jarren Duran worth $7.7 million. He entered the offseason with an $8 million team option for 2026. And new this afternoon, ESPN's Jeff Passan reports that Trevor Story will not be opting out of his contract with the Red Sox. He remains and has 2 years and $55 million remaining on his contract. Patriots players were off today. New England visits the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this Sunday at 1 o'clock. Earlier today, the team signed wide receiver Brendan Rice to the practice squad. Rice is the son of Hall of Famer Jerry Rice. He was the 7th-round pick of the Chargers back in 2024. He caught 84 passes for 1,402 yards and 16 touchdowns through 26 games with UNC in college. The corresponding move, the team released running back Jonathan Ward from the practice squad earlier today as well. And finally, the NFL's trade deadline has come and gone. Multiple sources have confirmed that the Patriots did indeed stand pat at the deadline this year. Among the biggest moves from around the NFL, the Jaguars have acquired wide receiver Jacoby Myers from the Raiders for a 2026 fourth and sixth round pick. The Colts are acquiring star cornerback Sauce Gardner from the Jets for two first round picks and wide receiver A.D. Mitchell. The Seahawks are acquiring wide receiver Rashid Shaheed from the Saints for a 2026 fourth and fifth round pick. And the Cowboys are trading for Jets Pro Bowl defensive tackle Quinnen Williams, sending a first, a second, and defensive tackle Mozzie Smith back to New York. If your doctor said surgery was the only solution for your joint pain, get a second opinion. Do what Ted Johnson and thousands of others have done. Eliminate your joint pain with Boston Prolotherapy. Online at bostonprolotherapy.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
For this.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Baker Mayfield still with us. Baker, y'all play the Patriots on Sunday in Tampa. You're 6-2. They're 7-2. Should be a great one. Two-part question. What are you expecting in that one? And do you need any tips on beating the Patriots? Because I might know a guy.
I'll take all I can get, especially since Vrabel's there. I mean, you got some insider info probably. No, it should be a good matchup. You know, anytime you play a team led by Vrabel, you know they're going to be schemed up, coached well. They're going to play hard. I'm happy for Drake. Just seeing his progression, how well he's playing too. And just obviously their pass game has been explosive. So they start fast. We got to start fast as well and match that energy.
That was Tampa quarterback Baker Mayfield on the Manning Cast last night. I'm not surprised that Drake May and Baker Mayfield are fans of each other's games. You can kind of see it. They got a little bit of that athletic gunslinger, swagger, whatever you want to call it. I would love, I am a little bit greedy. I'd love if this was a really fun kind of
be great.
Baker and Drake, like shootout, one of these Mahomes, Allen, or, you know, that's just another level we're back into. Like, oh, we even have a quarterback now who shows up for shootouts with other high-end quarterbacks. Like, that would be fun. But
the Bucs have had a lot of close games. I mean, four games where he's had to come back to win the game. I mean, he got a win against the Falcons in week one, 23-20. And then the next week, a win against the Texans, 20-19. And then the next week, a win over the Jets, 29-27. I mean, so, you know, Baker's played in a lot of, you know, close games where he's had to bring his team back. It'd be fun to see Drake May bring the team back on the last drive kind of thing. See if he's got that kind of magic that all the great quarterbacks have.
Or it'd be fun to just see him blow him out, too. I'd be okay with that if he wants to just roll. I had a little exercise, and this stems from the root of this was Mike Vrabel's comment to Chris Curtis about strength of victory in the NFL, and that's mind-boggling to me that even exists, and some of these criticisms over the Patriots' schedule. So I wanted to look a little closer at teams that are winning.
I mean, basically said that the teams you're playing, Mike, suck, so your team really isn't that good.
Well, like, he didn't really say that. He said that was the national thing. He didn't have the cojones to say that, really. So I went down, and every NFL team that has four losses or fewer. So it ends with the Panthers at 5-4, and then the Patriots and the 7-6-2 type teams are at the top of the list. And what I did is, first of all, I wrote down their strength of victory, just so I'd have that for comparisons purposes with Vrabel. Also wrote down, you know, this is a stat they keep track of, is number of wins that the teams you beat have. So of the seven teams that the Patriots have beaten, for example, those teams have a combined 20 wins among them. And the leader in the NFL is actually, just for comparison, 22. It's the Colts have 22 wins among their collective victories. Wow. The teams they beat.
La-di-da Indianapolis. Huh?
So just for comparisons.
Okay. Yep, good point.
So I, you know, wrote down everybody's best win and worst loss. So for the Patriots, for example, your best win is at Buffalo. You beat a 6-2 team on the road. That's a good win. Your worst loss is at home versus the Raiders. You lost to a 2-6 team at home. So I did this for everybody. And I want to see how you look at this from my perspective, because some teams stood out to me. Let's start with Sunday's opponent, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're 6-2. The teams they've beaten have a combined 20 wins, so same as you. Their best win is at Seattle, which I don't know if coming into the season people would have said that's a great win, but the Seahawks look like a Super Bowl contender. Mm-hmm. So a win at Seattle
sucks at home, believe it or not, but then they're great on the road. So.
And then their worst loss, if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, your worst loss, the Eagles at 6-2. That's not a bad loss. The Philadelphia Eagles are the defending Super Bowl champions, and they're 6-2. So
and the Lions, too. They've lost to the Lions, too.
But I actually don't think that's a terrible – either one, if you want to put that one
in there.
I feel
like the Lions are better than Eagles. But I get you.
Yeah. I feel like the Lions are better, too.
Yeah.
That's why the worst loss is the Eagles.
Oh, my bad.
You lost
to
the worst team kind of thing.
Excuse me.
Yeah. But that also tells you that they played a pretty good schedule if their worst loss is to the Eagles. Another example that impressed me, the Denver Broncos are 7-2, same as the Patriots. And they only have a 325 strength of victory. That's the tiebreaker, and it's like, oh, they haven't played anybody. Okay, maybe not. They only have 19.5 collective wins among their opponents. Their best win is at the Eagles, the 6-2 Eagles, defending Super Bowl champions, in their place. Their worst loss is at the Chargers, the 6-3 Chargers. That's not a very bad loss if that's your worst loss. So the Denver Broncos, I said, that's pretty good football. Like, this is just a way, I think, to strengthen in your mind the comparisons between other teams. The Colts. Do we believe in the Colts? Do we?
Not after that loss last weekend.
So the Colts are 7-2. As I told you, they lead the NFL in victories among the teams they've beaten with 22 victories. Their best win, I put at the Chargers, the 6-3 Chargers. You won in L.A. And their worst loss, you just said it, the 5-3 Steelers. The 5-3 Steelers are a division leader, right? I mean, so even though it's your worst loss, is that a bad loss? I wouldn't say so. Because, for example, a team that I think has really bad losses, that would be your Green Bay Packers. They're 5-2-1. They were a very popular Super Bowl pick to start the year.
And they looked like they were unbeatable early.
And their best win, I put, is the Lions. So you get a nice win over the Lions. I think that was opening day, right?
Yeah, man.
That was opening day. Okay, great win. You know what their two losses are? They've lost to the Browns, 2-6. And even the Panthers coming into Lambeau. I know the Panthers have a winning record now at 5-4.
Yeah.
But if you're a Super Bowl contender, Fitzy, should the Panthers be coming to the partially frozen, soon-to-be-frozen tundra of Lambeau and beating you?
No, a lot of fans also were happy that the Packers lost with those god-awful laser-printed throwback uniforms that they wore last Sunday. But when you're supposedly a Super Bowl favorite and a 13.5-point home favorite, you don't lose. You just don't.
Correct. And so that put that. And then the Kansas City Chiefs, 5-4. People are wondering, what do they have left? What are they at this point? Mahomes had, what, 50-something percent of his passes he was completing in that matchup with the Bills, the loss the other day. The 5-4 Chiefs, their best win was against the Lions. I think that's a good win. You beat the Lions, even if it is in your building. That's a good win. And their worst loss is at the Jaguars. Are the Jaguars a bad team? Is that a bad loss?
No, they're not a bad team.
So Kansas City at 5-4, if that's their worst loss, they've played a tough schedule, right? They've played a tough schedule, and maybe they're not as dead. And then, for example, of a team that I think is fraudulent, earmuffs in the back room, Brian Furzocco, the Chicago Bears are now 5-3. 5-3 Chicago Bears. You know what their strength of victory is? 284. It's the lowest on this list by far. Everybody else is in the at least the 300s, a lot in the 400 and 500s. They have a combined 12 wins among the five teams they've beaten. So if you run quick math, that means every team they've beaten averages being a two-win team, basically. Their best win is at the Bengals. Is it really a great win? I don't know. They don't have Joe Burrow. It's not the real Bengals.
Well, was Joe Flacco the quarterback?
They put up points, but they also gave up points.
Yeah.
So that was their best win. And their worst loss was at the Rams, which isn't actually a terrible loss.
That's not a good loss. That's a hell of a good team right there.
But so this put it in perspective because I've been getting annoyed. Yes, Dan Ball?
I just want to make sure it's clear. What point are you getting at with the best win and the worst loss for, with the Patriots compared to other teams?
So that the Patriots have one of the better wins. I think at Buffalo is one of the better wins you could have. But their loss doesn't really measure up. It's not like they've played such a tough schedule that even their losses are great. I mean, their other loss, they only have two losses. Mm-hmm. Their other loss is to Pittsburgh, which I think is a very respectable loss now based on the standings, right? And based on Pittsburgh staying atop the North and Pittsburgh beating the best team in the conference.
How would you power rank the top three AFC teams?
So the top,
based on your research there.
So based on my research here, I still think you put the Colts atop the list. I think the Colts have a good, really good win and a not terrible loss. So I put the Colts at number one. I think I'd put the Broncos at number two, which doesn't really marry up with the tiebreakers because right now the Colts, the Patriots, and the Broncos are all tied at 7-2. I would put Colts number one. I'd put Broncos number two. And then after that, I think you're in the conversation. To me, it's a pick'em between the Bills and the Patriots. And based on the information I have, you beat the Bills in their house. So for right now, they can return the favor. If the Bills come to Foxborough and beat you and make that a season split, winning the home and home, that could change it. But I think you're a top three team.
One interesting thing about the Colts. So they just lose to the Steelers. And I'm looking at all the splits from Jonathan Taylor.
Yep.
It was that was his worst game by far.
Yep.
Against the Steelers. 14 carries for 45 yards, 3.2, no touchdowns. The longest run he had was 9. That was his worst game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, tells you how you stop the Colts.
Right.
Just stop Jonathan Taylor. Daniel Jones isn't going to beat you. Stop Jonathan Taylor.
And if you're funniest, a Patriots fan, don't you feel good about that?
I would feel great about that.
And his funniest thing is, like, this guy this summer, back in the summer, we were doing a show, said years ago, the key to stopping the Colts, funny enough, of all teams,
there you go,
was Edgerrin James.
My man. Way to go. That's it, Fitzy.
Who said that?
This guy.
The guy who stopped Edgerrin James.
Oh,
said
Ted, you'd know. Ted, you'd know.
Yes,
but yeah,
I would, Brian.
If you stop.
Are you out of your mind?
If you stop Jonathan Taylor, maybe Daniel Jones beats you, but I think you feel really good about your chances.
Probably
that's your coaching
not.
Point there.
That's
your... And a team just proved it.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
The Steelers just kind of proved it with Kyle Duggar on their side, which you could have had on your side, but you don't have on your side anymore. So I guess the bottom line is, not only do the standings say the Patriots are a top three team in the conference, I think you should very much feel like a top three team in the conference. And then there's always that one wild card that I didn't include because they're not worthy of inclusion yet based on their record, the Ravens. Everybody thinks the Ravens are lurking, and we'll see what the Ravens are come December.
They're still the betting favorite to win the division, and they're 3-5. It is the craziest thing. And Andy, you didn't get into the Jaguars, correct?
I can give you the Jaguars. They are Jaguars' best win is Kansas City, and their worst loss is either Cincinnati or the other scribbled team that I can't read.
It's Cincinnati. I kind of went over a bunch of these as well when you told me you were going to be doing this last night. And it's Cincinnati. And the crazy thing is they barely lost to the Bengals when Joe Burrow was quarterback. So that's why I keep saying, like, that's one of those teams nipping at the heels of the wild card. You said officially in the mix, throw them in the pile, whatever, so that when they made a move like earlier today and acquired a veteran receiver that's going to be a steady Freddy target for Trevor Lawrence, watch out for the. I'm just saying, watch out for the Jag. Like, I wouldn't sleep on Duval the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think
Duval.
They're definitely.
Duval.
We all doing it.
Duval.
617-779-7937. If you want a Duval, no, just kidding. Don't call. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's time for Odds and Ends. And we know Billy O'Brien is struggling to find wins over at Boston College right now. Well, the guy that Dante Scarnecchia, I believe, calls the teapot, well, he overheated a little bit in a press conference today. We'll play you that audio next here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
Hey, afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons on NFL Trade Deadline Day, which brought nothing from a Patriots perspective. They stand pat on their moves, shipping Keon White and Kyle Duggar out of town and sticking with what they have. Football talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 10 matchup between the New England Patriots and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Coming up,
how'd you guys do in your picks last weekend?
We don't talk about those things anymore.
Crushed
Ted.
It.
You guys, need a new shirt. Fitzy, it needs to say 8-1 now.
You did good, Fitzy, huh?
Yes, sir. 2 weeks in a row, Ted, I took a team against a 14.5-point spread and covered with ease.
Attaboy. And Daniel, how'd you do, bub?
We don't need to hear about that. Is your new t-shirt in?
You know what? I just I'll use the old one and I'll just put an 8 where the 7 was.
You cheapskate,
Teddy. Everyone making fun of your boy for taking the Steelers.
Look at you.
Yep, oh, sitting pretty.
I trust your gut from here on out, Stiz. No jokes. I'm just trusting your gut from here on out. Coming up on Odds and Ends here on Cars, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations, also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-4KIDS. That's Cars with a K. If he wasn't a guy that I really, really like and respect, I would have made some sort of joke comparing Billy O's record with my picking games record, but I am not doing that because things are not going well, and I like Billy O, and I want it to work at Boston College. But as we all know, Fitzy, Billy O has had a reputation, I assume, Ted, in Houston as well, for being susceptible to popping off, I guess. There was the famed fight with Tom Brady on the sideline.
Short fuse,
teapot, whatever you want to call him. Well, I'm not even sure this is a short fuse. This sounds like, if you listen to this clip from today's press conference, maybe this is something that's been building a little bit with some frustration here. But here's Billy O in his press conference today, and I think you'll hear the question first. Is that correct? Yeah, you hear the question that set him off.
Coach, wondering, do you have a message for the fans? Obviously, losing to Notre Dame Catholic school rival, 1-8 now in the season of BC. I've heard from a lot of fans. They're just really
I'm really glad. You know, I'm glad you're down. I'm not down. Nobody's down. We're fighting. We're competing. You know, it's the second year of this program, Mike. You always come in here with these down questions. Like, you show up, like, once a month or something like that. You come in here with these down questions. I'm not down. I don't know what year you graduated from BC, but this is a program that we're building. Okay. Nobody here's down. We're positive. We're going to show up and play our asses off against SMU. You can go out there in your dark, clouded world or whatever it is and do what you want to do. We're not down. The sun is up, and we're fighting. That's my message to the fans. What's up, Trevor?
That's my favorite part.
I love it.
He turns to the next question. What's up, Trevor?
Yeah.
What's up, Trevor?
There you go, bud. Way to go. Way to get it back on track there, Billy O. It's funny. You know, these coaches, he did say one line in there that triggered something. You guys remember Tom Herman?
Yes, Texas.
He was at Texas.
He was the urine guy. He got a lot of attention because he put the urine measuring things in, and you're a bad teammate if your urine is yellow.
Okay, I don't remember that, but trust
you. Highly specific.
But he was an offensive coordinator at Ohio State, came to Texas with all this fanfare. Oh, but no, he went from Ohio State to University of Houston, okay? He was the Cougars head coach. And then did really well with the Cougars, and so that he got the big Texas job. Oh, he was, you talk about the arrogance. He kind of threw out our show. Like, our shows, Houston's like a lot like Boston. They don't really care about the college teams. They just care about their pro teams. And if you didn't go to practice, like, all the time to cover his team, when you did interview him, he was almost kind of, like, dismissive. It was like, bro, you're coaching the Houston Cougars. Like, you need all the attention that you can get. But just the, you know, just hearing Billy O say, you come here once a month, it's like, yeah, sorry, it's a college program. It's not, you know, this isn't the most newsworthy program, right?
Are we worried about Billy O at BC?
I'm worried.
I saw some graphic the other day.
He's worried.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely feels worried. That's Christian Arkand. But there was a graphic, everybody with records like him has been fired already, basically, or whatever the graphic was making the rounds on Twitter. I hope he makes it.
BC's not LSU. It's
right.
Not,
I hope
know,
so.
He'll
Auburn.
Get a reprieve. He's Billy O'Brien.
I hope so, because I want it to work. And I bought into, the other thing is, I bought into, remember when he started, he's like, we think there's good talent in New England. We're going to recruit New England. We want to stop guys from going from New England to Clemson and to other places. Stay here. Play at BC.
There
win
is
at BC.
Good talent,
I hope that actually pans out. But Christian, what do you got for the show today? 4 hours?
I'd say so far it's not panning out.
It is
great,
not panned out. No. Don't blame it on the New England kids, though.
Yeah, we got a full 4-hour show tonight. Tom King joining us at 7:30. Looking forward to that. I'm very upset about this trade deadline today.
Yes.
I'm very annoyed about
it. You should be.
I'm in a crabby mood about it. And I think that in general, like, I was talking last week about how the Patriots and the teams they're competing against, are they Super Bowl or bust? Because these other teams are, and you know they are. You know the Chiefs are. You know the Bills are. You know that
the
Eagles
Colts
are. You know
the Colts
are. Colts certainly are.
Hey, two first round
picks. There was questions about them. Like, do they buy their own hype? Do they believe in what they're doing? And Fitzy, I mean, listen, you can take a victory lap here because the Patriots basically told you today, we're still rebuilding. 6-2, 7-2, whatever.
Yeah.
This is still a rebuild, and we're not in the business of going for it this year. We'll see what we got. You know, we'll play with the house money or whatever, which I think is a dumb way of looking at it. You got an easy schedule this year. Take advantage of that and fortify your team. And they just didn't. And it's not even so much that they didn't get some big superstar stud name. It's that they didn't do anything. Mm. You didn't get any depth. You didn't get any anything. And there was deals to be made. I'm annoyed. I'm very annoyed.
See, that's what I sounded
preach
like
the choir.
After the Red Sox trade deadline. That was the emotion, and it's why I called myself a fraud, because for some reason, I'm not reacting the same way now, and I don't get it. I don't know what the difference is.
You had higher expectations for the Red Sox from the very get-go, once they got Bregman back in March, Andy. You did not have these high expectations, considering you thought the Patriots would finish with 7 wins at 7-10. So it's... two completely different emotional landscapes.
I think you are probably right, Fitzy, but if you made me pick a side, I'm more on Christian's side. I think they even do a little something for depth so that we're not bitching when some guy gets hurt in 2 weeks that you don't have a backup to put on the field. And no, the Rice kid doesn't excite me. I know he's Jerry Rice's kid, but he's not really Jerry Rice.
You know how, like, Vrabel will say, I like this team. This is our team. We don't want to mess with the I'm sure Efton Chisholm somewhere is like, well, I guess I'll just go bleep myself then. You're out there getting Jerry Rice's kid and bringing him in as the last wide receiver. But you don't want to mess up this great culture that we have. What about me? What about Mr. Chisholm? That's huh? True. No one's thinking about him tonight, but we'll get to that. We also have a season-ending Dong report, which I'm very excited about, for the playoffs and the World Series and everything else. So it'll be the end of the Dongs tonight.
So it'll also be a lot of Vladimir Guerrero.
A lot of Otani, yes, absolutely.
I look forward to the Dong Report and 4 hours of the passion of Christian Arcand. He's not happy. You're going to hear about it, and I will be listening on the ride home. We will talk to you tomorrow. It's Wednesday. We will talk to Adam Schefter at 3:45. I'm sure he'll break down the trades that happened, and maybe he'll give us a little inkling of some of the trades that didn't happen. That's all tomorrow. WEEI Afternoons, 2 to 6. Talk to you then.
Can I just tell you,
yep.
Ted Johnson's head and his head and his neck are made of cinder block and rebar.
See you, Stink.
Football!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.